Noon. Last night I was saying good morning when it was actually evening time, and so now we're in the afternoon time, so I'll try not to say good night. Thank you for those that remained to stay after our potluck. I might have you throughout the course of our presentation maybe stand. If you're like me, after you eat, you tend to get sleepy, but if I see you dozing, I'll do something funny to waken you up. But again, my name is Kyle Bowers, along with my wife, Christina. We are your missionaries to Northwestern Ontario, Canada, where we serve along with Rick and Jamie Mickish, who you guys are quite familiar with, and we are serving the First Nations people of Canada. So we're originally from Indiana. That's why I talk with an accent. So please forgive me, I'm not Minnesotan, but we have lived in Minnesota. As I made mention to some, we were over in Talmoon, Minnesota, where my family had a resort. And so just a little quick intro of that. Back in 2009, we moved from Indiana, and that is where we met Rick and Jamie through Deer River Bible Church. So just to give you that connection, as they were starting their deputation, we were coming into the church, was there for a few weeks only, and the Lord just crossed our paths and just really mended our hearts through some interaction there. And so last night I did share through the ball game there when Rick was pitching to me. He said, there's the Bowers family. They're going to be serving with us in Canada. And to that I said, I don't think so. But the Lord knew, and so here we are today. So on the table in the back, there are prayer cards, and so please take one. They look like this. They're updated. So, Pastor, we did update the board, and so please take one. It has our contact information on it. Again, just a picture of our family, and it's just a way that you can pray for us. So please take one or two. Also, if you have not received our prayer update letter and would like to, there is a sign-up sheet on the back table as well, so please write legibly, and we will get those emailed to you. So at this time, my wife has a treat. Not food-wise, because we already had that.
Often I have a native flute on the back table, and a lot of times people ask me, do you play it? And so I do a little bit, so I'm not by no means fluent in it like the natives would be, but I do play a little bit of it, but I play regular flute, and so I picked it up kind of quickly. But music is a very big part of the native culture, and they often will use music, drumming, to call upon their ancestors or the spirits of the animals in which they worship through animism. And so while music is not the issue, it's who they worship. And so I witnessed this. We were where our house is, right across from our home is the school, the public school in town. And one of the native bands don't have their land back. The government hasn't given it to them, so they will hold their powwows on the school ground in front of our home. And so it's very loud. And one day I was sitting at the kitchen table, and their songs mean different things through story, and it's their opening ceremony when they're calling upon the spirits and their ancestral and the spirits of the animals. And the eagle is very important to them. It's a very important bird to them. And so as I was watching them, all of a sudden, two eagles just swooped down and flew over them for three or four times over a circle over the top of where they were worshiping. And then everybody took notice, and they're all pointing, and it was a sign to them, and then they flew away. And I really struggled with that because I said, God, you created the eagle, but Satan is alive and well, is he not? And the demons of this world are to confuse us and to keep those that are lost. So anyways, I'm going to use this instrument to glorify the Lord. I'm going to play Amazing Grace just one time through.
Amazing Grace.
Thank you for that. All right, well, as she... I told you last night I'm honest. I can't talk and click at the same time. And so my wife will click through some pictures as I speak to you this afternoon. Like how I transitioned into that. Again, we cannot be gracious enough, grateful enough for your prayers, for your support, for us to be there in Canada. Canada is not cheap living. Be thankful you are paying $2.59 for a gallon. Notice I say a gallon of gas. When we left the and came down, we stopped in at Nipigon at a reserve, and we paid $1.20 a liter. And so that is just under $6 a gallon. And so it is quite expensive. Food-wise, thank the Lord you have an Aldi's close by. And so we are actually going to hit the Aldi's before we return home. Because the price of chicken is outrageous. The price of cheese or your dairy is just phenomenal in cost. And But it is, again, through your prayers, through your contributions that allow us to be serving there in Canada. And I know that some of you have been there, and it is a great area to come and visit. And so I will throw that out. You're only 6 hours away. And so if you would like to come and visit, please call Rick and Jamie because they are the place to stay. No. Anytime, anyone is always welcomed. And we have the church that we put cots up in. And I know we have a couple of young folks there that that stayed in the stayed in the church as well, yeah, in the Sunday school room, if I recall, yeah. And so the cots were comfortable, yeah. No, and so anyways, feel free and to make a road trip up. Okay, well, just a little background of the First Nations people. They've been contending with their government for quite a long time over. Their country's issues, their rights as citizens, really since the government was established. Historically, broken treaties, numerous atrocities come at the hand of their own government, and even in the name of the church. And if I can pause there, we are overcoming obstacles because of that. And secondly, because we're white. And thirdly, because we do it in the name of Christ. And so, over past government attempts to simulate Native children, climaxed, if you're familiar with your history, climaxed into the residential school system, where all Native children were required to attend school from the age of 6 to 15. These schools were primarily entrusted to the Roman Catholic Church of Canada. They often enforceably removed the children. Okay, now as a parent, if that was you, you would want to maybe pull your child back. At that point, you would then be arrested because your child couldn't attend the school. Now, although these schools are not in, the residential school is not in place today, the system still is. And these schools closed as early as the 1990s, or as late as the 1990s. So again, as the system is not really in place today, we still have remote areas to the north, and this still it does take place, if I can maybe restate that, but the children actually still come from the northern reserves and they're bused down or flown down, and then they're put into homes in say Thunder Bay in host homes. And again, you still have issues. They're deprived from their native language. Many are exposed to physical sexual abuse. And sadly, it still happens today. In 2008, there was a public apology that was offered by the Prime Minister on the behalf of the Government of Canada, but they and the leaders and the other parties of the Canadian House of Commons, so there was this attempt to apologize. Yet, despite recent reformations, attempts by the government's apologies, the walls of resentment, anger, and hurt are still within the First Nations people today. And we see that, and it's been two and three generations back, and so we still have that we have to contend with today. And so we have hate, bitterness, heartache really remain fresh in the hearts of the First Nations people. We have alcoholism, violence, broken families, poverty. And if you were to come and visit, the first thing that we do is, well, not the first thing we do, but one of the things we like to do is to get people fresh on the reserve. Because sometimes I can sit here and tell you, and we can show you the pictures, but until you really see it, it really don't hit home. And these people live like this. And not to say that they're happy. Some, when we go to Rocky Bay, which is the closest reservation to us, some of the young folks know how dangerous it is living there. And they have goals. And they want to get off the reservation because they know how dangerous that it is. Again, substance abuse, addiction, suicide, violence are among the Aboriginal people and within the community. The imposition of the European culture and the loss of indigenous culture, the lifestyle, and self-determination has major consequences of their health and social problems of the population. Now, the rate of suicide is 6 to 11 times higher than the Canadian national average. These are statistics that you can get right offline. And this shows no signs of decreasing. Can you see the need of the gospel to go forward? However, these rates differ from community to community. Some communities have had epidemics of suicide, where others have had no signs of suicide for several years. Alcoholism is a concern, with intoxication levels among the First Nations people over 60% of the time. Incidences of fetal alcohol syndrome are 20 times greater than the world average. You see their hope, as Pastor John spoke this morning, their hope needs to be in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? Amidst these troublesome statistics, there is a purposeful attempt being made to bring awareness to these issues as well. There is a return to their native language, their cultural preservations among First Nations community. Within the public schools, there are teachers coming through education, yet many communities will host purposeful events to bring back their native cultural. A little statistics on how big Canada is. It is second to Russia in landmass size. It is comprised of 10 provinces, 3 territories. Today, there are approximately 35 million people that live in Canada, 2.5 million being First Nations people. This is a 45% increase into the last 10 years, or over the last 10 years. And half of the 1.4 million are under the age of 25. So there are a lot of young people. Now, one sad thing is a lot of them don't get off the reserves. And so what we're finding out through town is through this young lady that we pick up for the cadet program, her name is Maddie. And she goes, "Oh yeah, that's my cousin. That's my cousin. That's my cousin. That's my cousin." And they're all on the reserve. Do you see the problem? So today, again, lots of young people, but they cannot or do not get off the reserves. In Ontario, we have 13.5 million people. The total Aboriginal population is nearly 300,000 people, and this is the largest number of Aboriginal people actually live in Ontario. Most of them live down towards the borders, yet there's several that are up in remote places. Again, as mentioned, our family ministers in the town of Beardmore. Beardmore is about 180 people, about 75% First Nations people. Again, I said Rocky Bay is 12 to 15 miles to the west of us. If you look on a map, it looks like it's to the south. Rocky Bay roughly has 400 people living on the reserve. There is also Sand Point and Lake Nipigon Reserve. These two reserves are yet to be developed. Sand Point is underway of being developed. They have put in their own log mill. And so they are harvesting their own trees to build their own cabins. And so far, I believe they have 2 duplexes put into place. And so they are wanting to be self-sufficient And we applaud them for that. What do they do? The First Nations, they have logging, construction, commercial fishing, and specialty crafts. And so if you look on the table, you can see the moccasins back there. Those are, I believe, Fort Hope. A lady up in Fort Hope made those. And then what they'll do is they'll bring them down to stores or gas bars, which is your gas station, and they will sell them there. There's also educational, social, and tribal services supplemented on the native reserves, and these native governments also employ these people. Yet we know that our mandate is clear. We are to go. And not all of us, as I made mention last night, are enabled to go. Some have to stay. And so, but it's through your prayers and your support that allows others to possibly go to a foreign country or maybe just somewhere else here in the States. But again, we are motivated by love, anchored in truth, and ministered in the Spirit of God and through grace. Now, these people are gripped with fear, superstition, and pride, as Christina was making mention. We did have the opportunity to attend 2 years ago two gentlemen's funerals that they were ice fishing and doing a little drinking, and they made a wrong turn, and that wrong turn led to their death as they drove their snowmobiles into the river, and they broke through, and it was very, very traumatic. It was very, because we knew the father, we knew one of them, and he was the father of four young kids that would come to youth Bible club there on the reserve when we would go on a Monday night. And so it hit really home, and it hit home. But we attended their funeral, and as Chris was talking about the eagles, they have a process that they do. And the bodies are taken out through the west window. They're in the homes for a week, and then the bodies are taken out through a west window or a west door. And then the ceremony, and they have the fire is lit. The fire will go all week long. And then as they have the ceremony to put them in the ground, as Chris made mention, the two eagles came. And they all looked up and they said, there they are. They're starting their adventure together. And so that's going to be their way into their next life. But you and I, as believers, we know that that is not the case. And so again, part of their animistic belief. Yet these are the people that God has called us to. So again, we have a burden. Just as I pray that you guys do for here in Virginia, for the lost. Again, the Word of God goes forward. And our desire is to reach these people group through planting, reproducing churches, through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development. And I can't help but to say how encouraged I am by John and Larry, and to hear that, was that 100 churches have been given over to local pastors, and that is our goal. So we are in a church plant again with Rick and Jamie, who moved to Beardmore back in 2011. They established Community Baptist Church, which really was a godsend for this building and this. So there in Canada, this church came with a house. Was there? Okay, so they're called a manse. So if a house or a parsonage comes with a church, then it's referred to as a manse. And so Rick and Jamie were able to purchase three lots, and with the church and the manse or the parsonage on these lots for little of nothing. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so again, it is to see, and our goal is to have men raised, and it is so encouraging to hear your guys' testimony and on how men are being led to lead the church. Unfortunately, that's not our case yet. We're still praying that the Lord would do a mighty work within hearts of our own men. We don't have a lot of guys coming to church, unfortunately. We have a lot of guys in town, and but the guys in our church just don't seem to grasp, even though they say they're a believer, they don't seem to grasp the idea that God wants to use them. So be in prayer for that. As Rick and I have the opportunity to help these men grow into leadership positions. So again, Beardmore is just a hub to outreach or to go in and out to reach our region for the local church. Again, my role is to assist the building up of the church there in Beardmore and the regions around us. As I may mention, we don't have a lot of men yet seeking leadership in the church. And this has been a place where there has not been a gospel witness for over 30 years. So it was the old United Methodist Church. And so for over 30 years, there has not been a sound doctrine gospel in this church. There's been a lot of preachers that have come through, and all they collect is money. And so it has left a very sour taste in the community. And so even in the 3 years that we've been there, the 6 to 7 years that Rick and Jamie's been there, people are still looking, and they're still, are you real? And so this is, again, just a long process of continued work. And so we have a mixed bag in our church. We have natives. We have your Catholics. We have, of course, Christianity. We have some Jehovah's Witness that have showed up. And but every Sunday, they get to hear the gospel. And so we're excited. There's very thick walls, again, that need to be broken down and to be rebuilt. But yet, this takes time and patience. And it's going to take prayer. And so we must simply be faithful to the duty that God has called us to there in Canada. Now, back in 2014, I served there for 5 months doing a pastoral internship. And through that, the Lord opened up many, many doors for connections through Bible club meetings there on Rocky Bay and etc. Again, this was a direct purpose of prayers being answered. And again, just opportunities to be involved in the lives of people. And that's what it is. It's relational. It's getting behind a chainsaw. It's recognizing someone in your community that maybe needs a meal. That's M-E-A-L. Sometimes people say a meal, not M-I-L-L. And again, my Indiana accent. I was like, how do you say wash? Yeah, that's wrong. It's wash. Somewhere there's an R in there. But again, it's wash and wish and winda. Anyways, I told you I was going to do something because I see some of you yawning and I'll make you laugh. Jessica, what's a whippersnipper? A weed eater. Yeah, so some Canadians will call a weed eater a whippersnipper. And just different term. We were having some fun last night with Jessica, and Brian actually had to apologize because we were speaking really fast, and we had to slow it down and explain for Jessica. But we had a wonderful time last night. Again, we've ministered there several years. 2012 was when we first started going up, and so we're no strangers to that community. But again, as I said, it's going to take a long time to build and continue to build these relationships. So, like I said, it's going to be through a chainsaw. It's going to be through taking a meal to an elder. And that's really something that the Lord's impressed on our hearts, is we have a lot of widows and orphans in the town. And so So those are just avenues that we can use. And where was I? Okay, so Rocky Bay. Am I on the right? Okay, so 2 years ago, speaking of Rocky Bay, there was a new chief elected. And so since he's been elected 2 years ago, we've had a little more opposition to get on to the... not to get onto the Rocky Bay Reserve, but to have a Bible study And so that's really one thing that we've wanted to push, and maybe push isn't the right word, but to offer is a Bible study. They do have a church on the reserve, and it was built for the Catholic priest that comes once or twice a month possible, but it is not owned by the Catholic. And so that's the huge thing. So we're trying to get in to that church. And so this year, and even last year, we kind of pulled back the reins a little bit on the Rocky Bay, and just to see what the Lord is going to do. And so this year, we have invited the, and will be again, inviting the kids and the teens to come to Beardmore. And so instead of Chris and Jamie and I and Rick having to do two ministries in the week, we're hoping just to do it to one. And they do have a van that they can transport these kids. There's two drivers. Jimmy is one of the drivers. So if you remember Jimmy, pray for Jimmy. He has been willing to drive these kids to Beardmore, which again is only 15 minutes up the road. Made mention already that they are very relational people, and it still takes a long time. Again, because we're white and we're doing things in the name of Jesus. So, an avenue of reaching the reserves, and maybe you've seen this, Wasaya North Ministries. This is it's an Ojibwe word. I like to pick on Jessica today. This morning, she had a nice cup of coffee. She's like, please don't. Wasaya is a Ojibwe word. I'll have y'all say this. Mukadabish, Mukaday Kiki Wabu. Mukadamish Kiki Wabu. Mukadamish Kiki Wabu. Did you enjoy your cup of coffee today? Mukadamish Kiki Wabu is coffee. Translated, black medicine water. The Ojibwe language, and I'm no expert at it, and probably never will be, but it's phrasional. And so it's just recently that they have been putting it into phonetic, to where we can understand it. And so it's hard. I'll just be honest with you, it's hard. And Wasaya North. All right. Wasaya North is a this is a word, again, it's an Ojibwe word. Okay, are you ready for this? It means power of light or first light, the light of creation, inspiration and vision, power to change and grow. Okay? So one word, several meanings. Now, our idea is this. We chose this word to communicate that Jesus alone is the light of creation, and he has the power to change lives and transform them into his image. And so this is a collaboration ministry initiative of Community Baptist Church and our mission board, Biblical Ministries Worldwide of Canada. And so we are longing to see, again, the light advanced in the region of Canada. Not just there in Beardmore, but again to the reserves to our north. This is a twofold goal. It is to recruit like-minded ministries, church planters with the heart of Canadians, First Nations people. So if that is you, we need to talk. But we are in need of co-laborers. And just to the north of us in an area called Nakina, this is near the Arrowland Reservation. Nakina also is the airport, which flies in and out to the reserves to our north. And so if you are a burden for the First Nations people and you want to live in a small community and you have your pilot's license, be in prayer that the Lord would use you there. The other one is a couple that we could use about an hour and a half northeast of us that live in Long Lac, or two live in Long Lac, Ontario. This region has two reserves, 77 and 58. And again, this is bilingual, French and English. And so again, there is no gospel witness in that region. And then secondly, is to train First Nation believers and potential church leaders, several communities in our Greenstone. So I want to stop there right quick. Greenstone is comprised of five different communities. So we have Beardmore, Jellicoe, Geraldton, Long Lac, and Nakina. Okay, so we're all under this one umbrella. So that is our Greenstone community. And so we are, again, we've done assessing through that, identified the needings of sound Bible teachings in this area. And again, the goal of Wasaya North is to use CBC in Beardmore for those teaching in the equipping of First Nations people. Now, this past summer, we held our first Wasaya Bible Church, or Bible Camp, at a little camp called Augur. Or I'm sorry, it looks like Augur, A-U-G-E-R, but it's pronounced O-J. And so we had one girl and eight boys come. And anyways, three of those boys come from Fort Hope, which is a fly-in reservation. And three of them gave testimony that they received Christ as their Savior in that three-day Bible camp. And so we were excited for that. And we plan to do that for next year as well, only extend it for a week. Again, Wasaya North Bible Camp is just one way that allows our ministry team to have open doors in the Northern Reserves, again, to develop relationships and to invite the youth to come for a summer camp experience. Our goal in the near future is to begin visiting a couple of the fly-in reserves, so that is on Rick and I's radar, to personally be visiting these northern communities, which will allow us to minister in ways such as visitation, counseling, funerals, and distribution of Christian literature and resources. And it'll also be able to meet professing Christians that are there to encourage them, again, for the openness of tribal leadership and when appropriate to develop a ministry plan with them. In one remote community, growing friendships has allowed us to share the RBP Sunday School curriculum, the Visualized Kids Bible songs, and doctrinally sound Bible study material. So again, it's been since Rick and Jamie's been there, and it is still a long time coming. Now, one source or resource, and I invite you before you leave today, is to take a CD, and maybe you've seen them on the back, but they look like this, and what's left over, Pastor, is yours, along with the holder. But this is a CD that Rick has been in the many years planning of this CD. This is called The Storyteller, and this CD right here holds four testimonies of First Nations people. They tell their story of how they came to Christ. And they're very powerful. It's about a 45-minute CD. And so, like we tell folks in Beardmore, everyone drives an hour to get somewhere. And again, they're on the back table. Please don't leave here without taking one. And so these are future yet to come. So we want to get with the gentleman that does these. It's called Without Reservation Ministries, and actually it's right here in Minnesota. And so what he does is he goes throughout the First Nations people of North America and he interviews and the people, and so they're told by the ones who lived them. Testimonies are very powerful, and they bear witness that again, Christ is greater than the spirits. He's stronger than any addiction, and most importantly, he is mighty to save. So again, grab a CD. Again, our co-laborer Rick, he worked Without Reservation Ministry and he chose these stories. So far, these stories and the CDs have been distributed on five reserves and within our immediate region, and then they've also been in the gas bars, and so we thank the Lord that we can do that. I believe we had over 2,000 CDs made and we're running out, So it's a big testimony. So as really you can see, there is a tremendous need for the gospel in this dark region of the north. You know, you might just think, well, it's Canada. You know, literally, you're less than maybe some of you 2 hours away from crossing the border, and this is a dark region, but yet with a committed gospel witness, praying by faith, believing, lives can and will be changed. And again, it's reaching the lost for Christ, one person at a time. Now, since we've been in Beardmore, I do serve as the assistant pastor there, lead youth ministries, evangelism, community outreach. Rick and I, we swap on and off for the teaching and the preaching. When I get back, I'll be starting next Sunday, actually, starting a series in Philippians. And so I'd ask your prayers for that. And Rick just finished up with the book of Galatians. And so our people are getting the Word of God each and every Sunday. Just pray that it's, again, just a profitable time and that the people receive it. And so sometimes it's a shotgun approach. Other times it's a 22 approach. But they do get the gospel. Currently in our church, because I know you're wondering, we have about 20 to 30 people that attend on a given Sunday. Throughout the summer, as you know, numbers can drop off, but we're thankful for those that come. Our summers actually consist of 8 weeks. So winter is one of the stingiest months. It leaves late and arrives early. So we have about 8 weeks of good weather. And so, as you can see, our numbers would drop. We do have 4 believers that come within the church. We will be starting up our kids and youth ministry, our monthly men's Bible and breakfast. Christina will be starting up her Joy ministry Bible study with the ladies. And then we have other community outreach, such as Family Fun Night, and that is huge. And I don't know what you guys do for activity, maybe, but every Friday, yeah, once a month, Friday nights, we will open the basement of the church, and we just have games. We have a shuffleboard table. We have ping pong table. The youth group last year built a carpet ball table, and we have food and just cribbage. If you guys know, cribbage is very big in Canada, the board game cribbage, and so it's a great time. Christina, again, is currently discipling one of the new believers. Her name is Tammy. Tammy came to know Christ as her Savior back in April, and so over the last 12 to 14 weeks, she's been having a Bible study with Christina. It's been over the Story of Hope Bible study. It's been an incredible, encouraging time to see Tammy grow and to see how the Lord's going to continue to work in her life. And I believe she's expressed interest in maybe doing some teaching with the kids. And so we hope to have her in that rotation as well. Although Tammy does not have any other Christian influence, support in and around her. Tammy is a single mother. She has 3 boys, is 16 to age 20. And so please keep Tammy in your prayer. Also, along with other opportunities with folks like Sheena. Sheena is a recently widowed mother of 3 young boys. Juanita, her mother, who is also recently widowed. They are both struggling in the day-to-day. Sheena has her oldest son, Damien, has recently talked with Christina about her son, Damien, and that he has really communicated the desire to end his life. And so she has asked that I would intervene. And so it's just coming along someone. And, you know, that's sharing the gospel. That's being a Christ-like, right? And so to come along Damien, and he's a good kid. He just, he needs guidance. And so pray for me as I do that. Another man, his name is Wayne. He's an old man that is an alcoholic. Moose, again, a middle-aged man that just needs a friend. And he loves to talk. And another couple would be Dennis and Angela. They are our friends that we befriended years ago. But they are so hard towards the gospel. And so just pray for us as we continue to have the opportunities to spend time with them. And again, the list could go on and on, and it would be probably no different than here. I'm sure we all could have stories to share. Yet their only solution is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to know this, that you can be actively involved with missions. You know, if you don't feel the Lord leading you into a missions, right here, you can be actively involved in missions abroad from wherever the Lord currently has you. And the Bible tells us in James 5, the fervent prayer, the effective fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. There are lost souls throughout the world. You know, our prayers wrestle against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then we need to be praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit for the lost to come into the fold of the Good Shepherd. And it's through these prayers that lives will be changed. And so again, we are greatly appreciative of your prayers for us to be there in Canada, and that the Lord continues to use the gospel to transform those lives. And again, maybe the Lord's burdening you. You know, young folks, I'll speak to you shortly. Maybe the Lord's burdening your heart as you've been throughout this missions conference for these last few days. Maybe the Lord's on your heartstrings, and he's saying, be prepared, be ready to go. And if I didn't share, I think I did, but if you've heard me say this before, I went back to school at the age of 36 with two kids. And I will ask you to do the same that Rick asked of me. Agree to pray. If the Lord's burdening your heart, or maybe there's something he's doing within you to do something, agree to pray. Sincerely pray and see what the Lord would be leading you to do in full-time missions. You know, I think we need to be praying and saying, Lord, I'm willing to stay, but I'm ready to go. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so again, if the Lord has gotten you to the point where you say, you know what, native ministry is something that I've prayed about, again, feel free to contact us, and we will see how the Lord's going to work through things. Any questions this afternoon? Thank you for staying awake. Again, this has just been a joyful time. Actually, Pastor, this is our first missions conference, I believe, that we have been on. And so it has been a rejoicing time, and it's been great to see some new faces and some familiar faces, and that's a face that I can never forget. So, but it's always good to see Dave. So, no other questions? Or any questions? I'll turn it over to Pastor. Thank you again.